This weekend, we're wrapping up our series we've been in for the last 5 weeks called Antenna. Now, in this Antenna series, we've been looking at this TV and we've been saying, you know, this is a representation a little bit of how some of us feel about God's will. We all want to hear from God. We want to sense God's will in our life, but sometimes it just feels like it's hard to tune in. And so my motivation for this whole series, if you want to know it, is that I wanted to pack into 5 weeks everything I wish that I would have known when I was between the ages of 16 and 30. That's the passion behind this series. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter how old you are. Throughout our whole entire life, we feel the tension of wanting to know God's will. So I wanna review one last time where we've been, and then I'm gonna let you know today where we're headed. Week one, remember we talked about the three different aspects of God's will. And we said that do you remember what they are? The first is God's providential will, what God's gonna do no matter what. The second is God's moral will, the do's and don'ts that God gives us clearly in his word. And then the third thing is the one all of us wanna know, it's God's personal will. God, give me a clear picture of what your will is. And so week one, we said that if you'll put up the antenna of God's providential will and really focus on that and God's moral will, those two things will help you tune into God's personal will. God's personal will is always sandwiched in between these two things. But then we all know that even if we have these antennas way up, we know the picture can still be fuzzy, right? We're like, God, I still wanna know your will and I just don't know it exactly. So week two, we said the quickest way to know God's will is to invite other godly, experienced people to speak into your life. And we said, you know, if someone else grabs the antenna, sometimes it just gets clear right away. And that's what you need to do in your life. Now, week three, we said the clearest way, not the quickest way, but the clearest way to know God's will, especially his providential and moral will, is through God's word. And that God's will never contradict God's word, ever. And last week, we talked about the most personal way to hear God's will. And we said, you know, if you have a direct access line where you can plug in to hear God, and that is through prayer. And I pray that many of you have begun to pray differently based on last week's message if you were here, that you begin to pray surrendered prayers, which is the key to truly hearing from God. Now today, we're gonna wrap the whole series up and I'm gonna talk to you about the most exciting way to hear God's will, the most exciting way. And I'll set it up this way. Did you know there's not another you in the entire world? Did you know that there's 325 million people in the United States, there's over 7.6 billion people in the world today, and not one of them is you? You're the only you in the entire world. David, when he was writing about this in the Psalms, said this. In Psalm 139, he said, God, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God, this word knit, means he formed you uniquely you, and there's not another you on the entire planet. I maybe will put it this way. If you have a Samsung device or an Apple device that has a fingerprint or facial recognition, if you wanted to, out of 7.6 billion people, you could be the only person that could unlock your device. That's how unique you are. Does that not prove how creative God is? But it's not just physically. In terms of not just your physical, but your emotional makeup, your passions, your abilities, your skills. Did you know there's not one person that's ever existed or ever will exist that has your unique giftings and passions and skills? Not one. Now here's what some of us are thinking. That sounds like an awesome Hallmark card that you'd buy, right? I mean, you open it up. This sounds like something that your parents would tell you when you're having a bad day. Honey, you're uniquely you, okay? You're one of a kind. But you know what? It's 100% true. And until you understand your uniqueness, I think many of us will miss God's will for our life. So if I was gonna just summarize in one sentence what I'm gonna talk to you about today, it would be this. Your talents and passions are clues to God's personal will for you. Your talents and passions are clues. Now, if that's true, if you're that unique, no one else has your gift mix of talents and passions, don't you think God has a specific race he wants you to run? A race for you. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it's this really vivid verse to me because the imagery is of a Greek or Roman Colosseum, and like the Olympic Games, there's a race going on, and there's thousands of people in the Colosseum all cheering on this race. Yes! And here's what the writer of Hebrews says, 12:1. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I mean, that's what all of us want. We want to be running a race and everyone's saying, oh, they're doing exactly what God uniquely designed them to do. That's what all of us want. But do you know, in my opinion, why most people miss out on running their race? Here it is. A lot of us are running someone else's race. Some of you are running your father's race, your parents' race, what they expected of you, a friend's race, a family member's race, your boss's race. Some of you are running the race of someone that you admire or look up to or you see in bright lights. Do you understand how easy it is to look at someone who gets accolades and bright lights and go, I want to run that race, versus really discovering the race that God has for you? So here's what I want to do. I want to help you. Because as I look at my own life, I remember being a high schooler, going into college, and I desperately wanted to know the race God wanted for me. I wanted to know God's will in my life. And as I began to explore, you know, what were my, you know, unique passions and giftings in my life, you know, outside of my faith in Jesus, I could summarize them in probably 4 bullet points. You know, they were, you know, sports, leadership, history, and girls. Now, most teenage boys have a passion for girls, all right? So we'll put that one aside. But really, I mean, I had this passion for sports. You know, I had some success in sports and then got to go play a collegiate sport. Leadership-wise, I had some people that had, you know, spoken into my life and said, hey, we see some leadership giftings in you. And then for some reason, history was always my favorite subject. I loved history. And so as I began to say, God, what race do you have for me vocationally? What am I going to do with my life? Do you know what my answer was? I think I need to be a history teacher that coaches a sport. You know what's interesting? You know who else was a teacher in school and coached a sport, coached our high school football team? My dad. Now, do you think my dad encouraged me to play on his football team? 6'2", 135, that's what I weighed in high school. So I think he thought I might get broken. So he never did. It was kind of like what we talked about week 2. A godly, experienced man told me, don't play football, you play golf. And so that's what I did. I played golf. It was at the same time. But the point is this. Do you understand how easy it is to just seep into running someone else's race? That doesn't mean if what you're doing is what your parents did, you're doing something wrong. It just means you need to seek out for yourself the race God has for you, not what he had for someone else. And that's what I want to help you do today. I want to help you do that today. And the way we're going to do that is in your notes are 3 circles that all intersect. And I'm going to walk you through these 3 circles because I think they may be an amazing tool in your life to discover how God has uniquely designed you, which will lead you then to more powerfully discerning God's personal will in your life. And here's the question I want to ask. Are you certain that you're running the race God has for you? Are you certain? The reason that question's so big is because Scripture tells us one day all of us will stand before God and give an account for how we used the gifts, abilities, and talents he gave us. So let's dive in today knowing there's a lot at stake for you understanding how God designed you. Now, the very first circle that's over to the left, you label it this way. It's your talents. And you begin to answer this question, what are my gifts and abilities? All of us have them. Scripture tells us that every single one of us has at least one spiritual gift. So you begin to answer this for yourself. 1 Timothy, Paul is mentoring his protege Timothy, and he's writing this letter to Timothy. And in this letter, Paul says this, Timothy, don't neglect your gift. Don't you dare neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Now, this word neglect means to take your eyes off of something. And Paul's saying, Timothy, don't you dare start looking around at other people. You keep your gaze strictly focused on how God's gifted you, which is a clue for some of us, because you know why some of us don't exactly focus on what God's gifted us with? Because we're looking at everybody else around us. And the biggest cancer that causes us to do this today is social media. Social media is not all bad, but if we're not careful, it gazes our eyes on other people, and we want what they have. We want their giftings and abilities versus saying, God, how have you gifted me? So you have to focus on that. Now, some of us would say this, well, gosh, no one's laid their hands on me and told me through prophecy. Okay, but has someone spoken into your life and said, wow, you're really good at that? You're really talented at that. I bet you all of us that's happened. But here's what some of us do when people do that. We get this false humility. We're like, oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. You're really good at cooking. Yeah, it's no big deal. You're really good at hospitality. Eh. And we blow it off. Don't you ever blow off how God's gifted you specifically. You embrace it. You embrace it. And here's why. Because God's talents he's given you and the passions he gives you are clues, they're fingerprints to his personal will for you. Did you know that there's actually great tools nowadays to figure out what your giftings are? There's all sorts of tests. Did you know there's a spiritual gifts test you can take that tells you, based on all the spiritual gifts in Scripture, what your specific spiritual gifts are? Did you know that? How many of you have taken them? Just raise your hand. How many of you have taken a spiritual gifts test? Just raise your hand high. Not all of us. So we're gonna help you out today, all right? We have available to you a free spiritual gifts test that every single person can take, as well as a free personality test called a DISC test, which will not only tell you your spiritual gifts, but tell you your unique personalities, how God's gifted you. And every single person can take this today to be able to discover more clearly how God's uniquely gifted you. Now, here's my gut. Many of us hear that, and some of you are gonna blow it off and not do it at all, which is okay. I mean, I know some of you aren't gonna take it. But here's my challenge. If you don't take this test, you forfeit every right to ever complain again that you don't know what God's will is in your life. Don't ever say it again. You know why? Because some of us, we've spent more time studying for our fantasy football draft than we have ever studying how God's uniquely gifted us. Let me challenge you ladies for a moment. Some of you ladies have studied more what makeup goes with your tone of face than you've ever tried to discover how God's uniquely gifted you. So if you put this off and don't do it, don't ever complain again that you're not sure what God's will is for your life, because this is a clue. It's a fingerprint for you. So we have to seek out our unique talents, because remember, your talents and passions are clues to God's personal will for you. Now, we can't just look at our talents, though. I mean, talents is one thing. The second circle I want you to focus on today is to the right, and that is your passions. Okay, and here's you begin to answer this question. What fires you up? Like, what do you look at and just kind of naturally you get passionate about? And Paul didn't write just his protege Timothy one letter. He wrote a second letter called 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, listen to what Paul tells Timothy about his gifts. He says this in 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason, Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. It's an interesting term. It means to set ablaze, to rekindle a fire. Fire it up, Timothy, this gifts you have. So let me ask you, what gets you fired up? What gets you passionate in your life? You know, for some of us, I wrote down some things. It might be a sport. It might be fashion. It might be arts. It might be the theater. It might be technology, architecture, the outdoors. It might be kids or the next generation. It could be reading, writing, poetry, history, science, security. I might go on and on and on. What gets you passionate? Now, don't mix up talent with passions, okay? Because you can be very talented in something and not passionate about it really at all. And on the flip side, you can be passionate about something and really terrible at it. For example, some of you are passionate about golf, and you're terrible. I've seen some of you play. still mix these up. But you need to understand your passions. This is a huge clue for you. Now, some of us think what we're passionate about is silly or dumb. We do. We don't even tell people. It is deep down inside, and we're like, ah, that's kind of dumb. Don't ever blow off a passion that God's put in you. Because who do you think put it there in the first place? God did. He uniquely designed you. Now, if one of your passions goes against God's moral will, well, you need to ditch that. But as long as it's not going against God's moral will, which many of them don't, I mean, you need to embrace these unique passions that you have. Even if you're like, eh, God never wastes a passion. I never quite understood why God made me so passionate about history growing up. I'll tell you why a little bit later. But God never wastes a passion. So we have our talents, we have our passions, and then the third circle I want to talk to you about today is down below, and that's our burdens. We begin to ask this question, what needs to be done? God, when you look at this world and when I look at this world, God, what needs to be done? What should be different? God, what do I see through my unique lens that burdens me that I think should be changed and I should pour my life into? When Paul specifically felt a burden to preach to a very specific group of people, the Gentiles, listen to how he worded this burden in his life. He says this in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For I'm compelled by God to do it." This word compelled is so weighty. What Paul's saying is he's saying, if I don't do this, it will eat away at me. I think about it all the time. What is it in your life that you just think about all the time? You might start answering the question this way. What breaks your heart? What breaks your heart that breaks God's heart too? What do you see that needs to be done that God wants done as well? Have you ever really thought about that in your life? I think God's given every single one of us a burden, and here's the key with this circle. You can figure out your talents and you can figure out your passions, but until you align those talents and passions with a God-given burden that God wants done in this world, you'll miss out on God's purpose for your life. So every single one of us, God's placed a burden in your life. Now, be careful, because don't expect someone else's burden to align with your burden. You may have a unique burden, but you need to know what it is. Your burden could be a segment of our world. It could be education or business or government or a nonprofit. It could be a cause. It could be the poor or the marginalized. Or it could be racism. I could go on and on and on. It could be leadership. It could be, you know, people getting their finances in order. It could be another legitimate need that you just feel a burden for. It could be kids. You know, all throughout Scripture and all throughout history, God's placed burdens that people have leveraged to do something great in our world. Let me give you a few examples. Moses, his passion was God's people in slavery. He helped lead them out of it. David, his passion became Goliath, or his burden became Goliath, trash-talking God. He couldn't put up with it anymore, and he acted on this burden. Nehemiah, his burden was a city that he loved and was in disarray. Martin Luther King Jr., his burden was the vicious racism that was affecting our country. Mother Teresa was the marginalized in her society. Over 35 years ago, Don Wilson had a burden for the city needing Jesus. A young woman named Laura Moeller in our church, her burden was special needs kids. And now CCV has one of the greatest special needs ministries in the country, helping these amazing kids and families. My friend Jason Law, his burden was the barrios of Mexico and the poverty he saw. And he acted and he used his talents and his passions to make a difference, and it's been transformational down there. My friend Brian Beltramo, his burden was coaches and athletes. And now Brian oversees all of FCA in Arizona. My friend Allie, her burden was kids, and she dedicated her life to teaching. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Do you know your unique burden? So what we see, this tool, is that if you will look at your talents, your passions, and your burdens, the goal is when these line up, it gives you extreme clarity and a clue to where God wants you to go and what he wants you to do in your life. Now think about this. If you just line up a couple, here's kind of what happens. If you're talented at something and you're passionate about something, but it isn't really meeting a God-given need in our world, there's really not a need, you know what that's called? That's a hobby. Now listen, hobbies are awesome. I have tons of hobbies. Hobbies are not bad. You can embrace hobbies. It just means that you need to understand that there's those two. Now, what about this? What about when you have a talent and there's a burden, a legitimate need, but there's no passion on your part? You know what that's called? That's a duty. And this isn't bad either. As a matter of fact, I could spend a long time talking about that. I think our world needs men and women who step up, who see a need and have talents, that they embrace their duty to make a difference in our world. What about this? What if you have a passion for something and there's a legitimate need, a burden, and God wants something done in our world, but you don't really have a lot of talents in that area right now? You know where you could find yourself here? This is maybe called training. God may be training you up to something he wants to do in this world. But what we want to find ourselves in is we want to find ourselves in a place where eventually these three things line up, because that's a clue to God's personal will for you. Aristotle put it this way. At the intersection where your gifts, talents, and abilities meet a human need, therein you will discover your purpose. I want to show you the story of a man named Nate from our surprise campus who began to discover his talents, his passions, and a legitimate need and burden he had, he calls a calling, and how it led to him making a massive difference in this world. Watch this.
My parents had us when they were very young. All I remember when I was younger was them fighting. As I grew older, my mother wound up taking me. But in this environment, it was another just toxic environment. People were fighting, drinking, doing drugs. The police department wound up coming to our house. They wound up just taking us, stripping us away, and taking us into foster homes. That was probably one of the scariest times of my life. A lot of the kids back in the day became passionate about gangs and finding their loyalty there and giving their heart and everything to it, just because they felt like the bonds of their friendships that they made are some of the people who would have their back. Well, God did that for me. And even though I was abandoned and rejected and as a child, he lifted me up and gave me inspiration and helped me. And I wind up pursuing policing, and never thought I would want to do it, just because some things in my childhood, my only exposure to the police officers was when my family was acting wrong or doing something bad. Beginning of it, I struggled. I struggled a lot. One day I was driving in a patrol car. I was about 5 years in. And I just asked God, I said, you know, what's going on? Why am I doing this job? And it was clear, it just came to me so clearly. He said, you remember everything you've went through. Remember your childhood. You remember being in a foster home. You remember your parents fighting. You remember everything happening. People dying at young ages, people not having direction. You remember that. That's why you're here. You're here, I put you in a position now to give back to those who are hurting. And I remember it as clear as yesterday. Once that happened to me, I realized that this job was not only something I was doing, it was a calling. And it was a ministry. And now I wake up every day looking at it that way. I was meeting juveniles who were hurting and struggling when I was on the streets. I started to realize that passion, that gifting at that time.
Look at this young man. Love the haircut, buddy. Hustle, come on. Good job. That's what I'm talking about.
We teach them law enforcement functions. We teach them how to go into the community to be a servant, and just the whole aspect of a police officer, but more importantly than that, just to be a person of good character and to be able to serve their community and do things in the right way. All the lessons that I've learned from my youth to now, I try to share with them and share my story with them also, just through love and the power of God that I made it through, and they so can they. There was an opportunity at one point for me to seek promotion, and I turned that down because I realized after seeking wise counsel and praying about it that my promotion is seeing these kids grow and develop. I want to serve people to the best of my ability. I want to interact with them in a way that just demonstrates the love of God and shows how good he is. That's my sole passion. It really is. I burn for that every day.
Yeah. I love hearing Nate's story because I believe that Nate has discovered where his talents and his passions, burdens, and where those things collide. You know, more money will never make you happy. You know, the next promotion will never make you happy. You know, the next vacation doesn't make you happy. You know where true fulfillment and happiness is found? When you find yourself living the purpose that God has for you. And Nate just discovered this. And some of us need to do some work to discover it as well. What I love about hearing Nate's story is he's not only serving in his community. Almost every single time I go to the Surprise Campus, I see Nate and his wife, Pearl, and they serve like crazy. And it fires me up just seeing someone living such a purposeful life. You know, one of the key things I heard Nate say in that video was, I was offered a promotion and I turned it down. Who does that? Like, who turns down the promotion? You know who turns down a promotion? Someone who understands that they're living God's will. They know their purpose. That's who turns it down, because Nate knows his promotion is seen and living still here. I know families at CCV that have done a lot of the similar things. They're living that purposeful life. I know families that have turned down moving to another city because they know that God's will exists for them right here. They know the impact that they're having in this city. They know the impact they're having at this church, or this church is having on their kids. You need to live for a higher purpose than the next promotion or the next dollar bill that's coming your way, if you really want to find purpose and happiness in this life. Now, here's why this is so incredibly important, that you get clarity on each of these three things. Because don't miss this. The clearer this is in your life, the narrower the options are, and the easier decision-making becomes. Let me say that again. The clearer these three things become in your life, the narrower your options are. You know where you're supposed to live. And so decision-making becomes that much easier. Isn't that what you want? To live in the center of God's purpose for your life? But it happens when these three things begin to intersect. So let me ask, are you clear? Are you clear on these three things? When I was in my 20s, someone presented this diagram to me for the very first time. And you know what I did? I began to get out a piece of paper and I began writing each things in each of these circles. I took a spiritual gifts test for the very first time. I took a personality test, the same one we're offering you, for the very first time. And it began to reveal to me so much. I began filling in my talents. And you're gonna have several that you're gonna put in there. One of them that I put in there was leadership. I've always, you know, just had this thing. I mean, I've led in the past, and I've always fascinated by looking at good leaders and what makes organizations work. I mean, it was there. Then I began to ask God, what are the unique burdens that you've given me? And this didn't happen overnight, but I'll never forget being a 26-year-old after searching and searching and searching, God, what have you put inside me? And I finally wrote down as a 26-year-old on a piece of paper, God, I look at the organizations I've worked in and the leadership, and then I look at the church, and I see what's going on there, and I see a gap. So I wrote down, God, I think the local church should be the most well-led organization in the world. That became my burden. Then I began writing down my passions. Remember, one of my passions was girls, so I got married to an amazing woman named Jamie, you know? Check that one off. But then I began writing, you know, what were these other passions? I had this passion in here, history. God, I'm not gonna be a high school teacher, so you, that's a wasted passion. God never wastes a passion. And then one day, it's like God spoke to me like it hit me like a lightning bolt. He said, Ashley, do you realize that you now get to teach the most important history book ever? My word. Man. Here's the key, though. These things didn't begin to align for me overnight. It took searching. It took digging. It took me really, like, asking God, God, please help me understand these things in my life. It took me almost 10 years for these things to begin to align, which means God's will sometimes makes you wait. You want to know why? We talked about this during the David series last fall. God sometimes wants to do something in you before he does something through you. Let me repeat that. God oftentimes wants to do something in you. He might have you in a training phase before he does something through you. So don't get impatient with God. You just search these out. It adds clarity to your next step. And then you take advantage of every opportunity right where you're at. Your current job. Your current things that are going on in your life. Because if you don't take advantage of the current opportunities and you're not faithful in what you're doing right now, why would God ever put you in a position of moving you somewhere else if you're not faithful where you're at right now? So you take advantage of every opportunity and you get clarity on this. You continue to get clarity. Are you clear? Here's what I want to do as we wrap up. I want to try to tie a bow on our entire antenna series, and then I'm going to give you one specific takeaway for today. And here's how I tie a bow on this series. If you want to know God's will, you use the tools he's given you. You pray to God and ask God to specifically speak into your life his will. Prayer is so powerful. Then you invite other godly people to speak into your life and say, hey, this is what I think I'm hearing from God. What do you think? And you make sure they line up. Then you make sure that whatever you're hearing never contradicts God's word, because God's will never contradicts his word. And then you get extreme clarity on how God uniquely designed you. And as you think about what God's will is through prayer, through other godly people, through God's word and how God uniquely designed you, when all four of those things start lining up, you can be certain that you're on the path God wants for you. But use all those. So today, I want to make sure that you have some clarity on this. So here's my challenge to you. I want every single person here to commit this week to take a spiritual gifts test and a personality test. Now remember, we've given you a link on our mobile app and on our website. You can take both of them. They take less than 10 minutes. In 10 minutes' time, you are going to get results of what your spiritual gifts tests are, what your top spiritual gifts are, and what your unique personality is. And you have to do this to begin to start filling out those circles how God uniquely gifted you. Could you imagine if every single person at our church began to take seriously your talents, your passions, and some burdens, and you begin to get clarity on those? Do you understand what would happen? Marriages would change, families would change, our church would change, our city would change, you would change. I want that for you. I want it for me. I want it for our church. And you know what? God has a purpose for you, but you're never going to discover it sitting around doing nothing. So act. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we acknowledge that you're so good. You have a good and perfect and pleasing will for every single one of us. And some of us are frustrated right now because we just want to know what it is. We want the skies to part. We want you to just write it in the sky. And yet you've given us these tools, Father, prayer, a direct access to you, other godly men and women we can ask and seek, your word that's so clear, it's more clear than some of us want to admit. And then you've given us ways to discover our talents, our passions and our burdens and how they can align. And so I pray today that every person here, I pray they won't even be able to go to bed at night without taking a spiritual gifts test and a personality test to discover how you've uniquely designed them so they don't run someone else's race, but they run the race you've marked out for them. And as they do, may you give them extreme confidence knowing that you truly can reveal your will in their lives if they'll seek you. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.